Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Marius Ruit. Let's get into our first news story of today. And the President, Cyril Ramaphosa, was in Parliament yesterday, and he was answering questions from MPs. And he gave two answers, which I think were extremely illuminating about where he and the ANC are, and precisely why they refuse to embrace any kind of reform or change agenda. So let's first start with a comment made by, I think it was an MP from the Patriotic Alliance, who asked the president why we were still using race-based terminology and when we were going to move beyond such a thing. And on the surface, Ramaphosa gave an answer where if you kind of look at the first couple of lines and you don't think about the implications too much, it sounds, okay, well, I mean, there's still racialism in here, but you know, he's sounding like a more reconciliatory tone, right? This is not super aggressive. But when you begin to kind of break down the remarks here and actually look into them, and then also his further remarks on BEE, which we'll get to in a minute, the kind of racialist essential thinking that is strong in the ANC comes to the fore. So in response to the question from Patriotic Alliance MP V. Daniels in Parliament, Ramaphosa said, quote, South Africa belongs to all those who live in it, and we have an equal claim to this country. As we work to overcome the racial divisions of the past, we have put in place legislation and other measures to redress the effects of discriminatory laws, practices, and conventions that took place in this country. If we are to affirm and advance the position of people who were previously disadvantaged and held back, we use these terms, meaning racial terms. We need to use them for this purpose alone, as they are associated with our apartheid past. Not only is the use of such terms necessary to redress, it is also useful to gauge the progress that we are making and to reduce the stark difference between different population groups in our country. The use of race-based terminology will always be difficult for our country as we work to put behind the racial injustices of the past. However, until we have reached our goal where there is equality for all people in our country, there will be circumstances where we need to use such terminology. Our responsibility is to ensure that our use of such terms ultimately makes the differences they refer to less and less important until they are rendered meaningless and no longer serve any purpose. We are on a journey of moving away from the shadow of our horrible past, which defined us as separate groups and separate entities. What is important is for us is to see ourselves first and foremost as Africans, as it constitutes our being South African. We need to rid ourselves of these divisions. It will take time, but we are on a journey. The sentiment of South Africans coming to view themselves as a united identity and these racial terms falling apart, falling away, is one I very much endorse. It's one I believe in very strongly. But he firstly makes the claim that these are necessary for redress. Now, are these terms necessary for monitoring our progress on getting away from the past? I think on that sort of reporting basis, you know, for example, knowing what the black unemployment rate is a useful metric. But there is no reason why a black kid who went to a private school, who has parents who are politically connected or already wealthy, should receive a benefit over, I don't know, let's say, a colored kid who went to a poor school and who came from a broken family and had to fight very hard to escape difficult circumstances in their youth. Or even a white kid who grew up in a depressed neighborhood with a dysfunctional family. He just states it as a fact that race is essential to redress when it should be disadvantage that is essential to redress. Marius, your thoughts on that first point?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of doublethink here in the president's statement where he says, you know, this is terrible, like, you know, carrying on these racial terms a lot of South Africans don't like, but we need it for reasons. And I think your point is spot on. Obviously, the vast majority of poor people and people who live in poverty in South Africa are black South Africans. But a lot of black South Africans are now middle class. I mean, since about 2007, 2008, statistics have shown that there are more black people in the middle class than white people. And there's probably in the top 1% richest people in South Africa and top 10% richest people in South Africa, there are probably more black people in those categories than white people. So it doesn't make sense to simply just continue to look at race and what have you. And if we're going to move past these categories, we have to move past them. We can't just keep using them for, you know, as you say, I think the only reason to use them were to would be to look at how we're doing in overcoming the legacy of the past and seeing how many black people live in poverty or unemployed or whatever the case is. But if we keep using these terms, we're just re-racializing South Africa. And as we've been saying at the Institute of Race Relations, how do you define what a black person is or what a white person is or whatever the case is if we don't have the Population Registration Act? There's no legal definition right now of what a white person or a black person is. There was that case in the Western Cape. I think his name was Glenn Sleiman. He was a colored guy, a teacher, and he applied for a principal's post. And he, on his application form, he said he was African. And he actually got into trouble for that until, I think it was Debbie Schaefer, the MEC for Education in Western Cape, stepped in. They said he was committing fraud. But how can you say to somebody, a colored person of the Western Cape, who very likely has Khoisan ancestry, and Khoisan are literally the first people of South Africa, they were here before anybody else, how can you say to somebody like that they're not an African? It's absolutely ridiculous. And if we get into this, view that only black people or white can be African or white people can't be, you're getting into a very blood and soil way of looking at the world, saying Africa is only for black people. If Africa is only for black people, then Europe is surely only for white people. And that's obviously not a world that you want to live in. So overall, I don't think it's very useful. And I'm open to correction on this, but I believe India has, when they've conducted their censuses, they've never, ever done a, they don't ask people what religion they are, because they don't want people, a sports team has got 40% Muslim guys and Muslims only make up 20% of the population or whatever the case is. And there'll be all this kind of, fighting and, moaning about demographic representativity and whatever. So, I mean, I can see why we, as you point out, why we do still to a degree need to monitor the racial categories, but it is, I think, something as a society we do need to start moving past.
So one of the other phrases in here that was, I think, particularly pernicious was, the president says, yes, no, we do foresee a point in time when racial categorization will be sunset. But he says it is when there is equality for all our people in all people in our country. So let me just quickly do some maths on that, and that'll be precisely never. In fact, with policies like BEE and with policies like those that the ANC government has pursued for the last 10 years at least, if not 30 years in some cases, we will never reach anything that can even vaguely be called equality. Because without economic growth, without significant changes, the only way you're going to get real equality is for the economy to collapse entirely and for everyone to be starving. Then I guess we probably will all be equal. But there is no society in the world which has ever achieved any such equality. And so this is one of those kind of political sleight of hands, where essentially he says, yes, we envision a sunset, but in reality, what he's saying is there will never be a sunset to these policies.
I think we need to have things like equality and transformation defined. Like, what does equality mean? What does transformation mean? And whenever we reach those points, because as you say, equality is impossible. You will never get perfect equality. Even if South Africa tomorrow said we took everybody's assets, divided equally between everybody, everybody had to say whatever, 10,000 Rand each. Within 2 years' time, there'll be some people living on the street. There'll be some people with 2 million rand in the bank. There'll be some people running businesses, because we human beings are equal, but we're not all equal in our abilities. And some people are just more capable in this kind of thing. But that said, I mean, I think where we have to make sure we are all equal is that nobody lives in poverty. I think that is the baseline of kind of equality we have to have. But apart from that, it's impossible to have equality. And the government must explain what they mean by equality. Exactly, yes,
right. 100%. That we are equal before the law and that we have equal opportunities to engage in our society in some way. It's just like the, as you say, transformation. Transformation, what does it mean? Well, I think that it should mean that we transform our society from a poor, divided, broken society to a wealthy, successful, innovative, and united society. And how do we do that? Well, it's very clear that BEE has not been a policy that has achieved that. In fact, it has achieved the opposite in some ways. In fact, equality within Black South Africans has decreased. In fact, Black South Africans as a group have become more unequal because of BEE. So if the goal is equality, it's really not not doing great things. But
Black South Africans are the single most unequal group out of the four main race groups in South Africa.
Exactly. But it gets worse because the president also answered questions from Freedom Front Plus MP Corné Mulder, who was asking whether Ramaphosa was prepared to develop an economic policy that makes possible real economic growth, that this would involve tackling certain things related to black economic empowerment, employment equity, affirmative action, and the Expropriation Act. Are you prepared to do that? Ramaphosa was asked. And here Ramaphosa went straight to the sort of racialist well. He said, and I'm going to quote from him extensively here, "I'm rather surprised and taken aback when I hear that policies of black economic empowerment militate against the growth of our economy. That I find quite surprising because I work from the starting point that our economy was held back over many years by racist policies of the past. Those racist policies prevented all South Africans, or the majority of South Africans, from playing a meaningful role in the economy of their own country. Black people were brought in as hewers of wood and drawers of water. They were brought in as laborers. They were not even seen as consumers. They were not seen as active players in the economic landscape of our country. With democracy, what has now been happening and what we seek to see happening is the opening up of the economy, the broadening up of economic participation, which if you observe, Honorable Dr. Mulder, you will find actually see, and it's right in your face. Our ambition, Honorable Dr. Mulder, is to make sure that our economy grows more than what our projections are currently. Our objective is to spread economic participation broadly, and I will hold on to that argument that the more we have previously disadvantaged people playing a role in the economy of our own country, the better it is. Concentration, because they say the ownership of the economy is in far few hands, ownership has not spread. Now, I find it very worrying that we continue to have this notion that BEE is the one that's holding our economy back. It is the partial and exclusive ownership of the means of production in our country that is holding this economy back from growing. If we accept the ownership of our economy as imbalanced, the clause on equality in our constitution seeks to undo that, to redress that. So therefore, ownership of our economy should be broadened. And I can tell you, Dr. Mulder, there's nothing that gives our people as much joy, particularly black people, as they go around and find that this production facility is owned by a black person. It warms one's heart. It makes us feel so good because we come from a horrible past where that was not allowed by law. Now, those that want black people just to play the consumer role are truly mistaken. Black people must play a productive role as well," he told Parliament. He said, "We must allow more people to play an important role in the economy of our country. And what baffles me most is that those who are opposed to black economic empowerment, I say, what do you want to see happening? Do you want to see black people continue to play the role of laborers, drawers of water, hewers of wood, and consumers only? Why can't black people be made to own productive aspects of work? Why can't they be rich as well? Dr. Mulder, you look at Afrikaners, the history of your people. If you look at the history of your people, they were held back by the English. With latter days, they were enabled. They became more and more economically empowered. Why can't the same be done for black people?" Now, I think that really here you get to the kind of heart of the ANC's economic objectives. And they are not to end poverty. They are not to deal with mass unemployment in this country. It is a kind of a focus on as long as we have some black billionaires, as long as we have black industrialists, therefore, I don't know, the morale of the race will be uplifted because we will have a few rich people. As he says, there is nothing our people love more than knowing that a production facility is owned by a black person. Firstly, sorry, I'm going to froth at the mouth a bit here, which is what I felt when I read this originally. I didn't know that President Ramaphosa was suddenly the emperor and interpreter of the views and feelings of all black South Africans. But anyway. I actually would wager that most South Africans, whether they be black or white or colored or whatever, believe that they want the best services, the best prices, the best employment opportunities, the best education from whatever it is, as long as regardless of what the race of the person is. And our surveys, which ask this question repeatedly, find that is indeed what most South Africans believe. In fact, what Ramaphosa is saying is directly in contravention of that. He also creates the straw man. He's saying without BEE, there would be no black owners of the means of production. I'm sorry, but that is quite frankly absurd and racist. It is the assumption that without this largesse, without this government handout, that black South Africans are incapable of creating anything themselves, that they are going to be sort of, I don't know, that they're not going to be given loans, they're going to all be held back by the economy, that all the white people are just going to clump together in a big group and hold all capital to themselves, and no one will ever own a factory or anything like that, which is quite frankly absurd and insane. And I think there are many South Africans today, black South Africans, who have achieved their success in the middle class entirely through their own hard work, through their own dedication, despite the terrible economic policies that this government has implemented, despite BEE, despite all of these negative winds blowing against them. And these comments by the president are an insult to them. They're also, quite frankly, a straw man claiming that the only alternative to BEE is for black people to be manual laborers forever, which is absurd. And, you know, I would struggle to find anyone except even the most fringe white racists in the country probably don't even want that. But sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Marius, your thoughts? This just upsets me so much.
Tell us what you really think, Nick. But I believe this is part of the president's campaign to become, he wants to be known as the president of equitable sustainability. So I'm not sure how true that is. But yeah, I mean, it's all just, as you say, just straw manning. And it's, you know, it's, B has obviously not worked. It's put a brake on investment and on the economy. We've got to think of different ways of doing things. And you know what? Like, it's obviously, so each country is unique. You know, I mean, it's a bit of a obvious thing to say, but we look at what other countries have done around the world. How have they got, you know, when in a good starting point is the early 1990s, when a lot of economies came out of communism, you know, in the old Eastern Europe. Poland was poorer than South Africa. Malaysia was poorer than South Africa in the early 1990s. You know, a lot of these countries were poorer than South Africa. Now, Poland is much richer than South Africa. Malaysia is much richer than South Africa. What did they do to do that? You know, and Malaysia actually had a form of affirmative action there as well. That we need to go look. Was it the same kind of thing as BE? Was it as hard? What did they do? And if there's stuff that did manage to empower the local Malays in Malaysia, then how was it done? Was it actual empowerment? Because there's no actual empowerment in South Africa apart from a handful of connected people. The vast majority of black South Africans still live in poverty. Black economic empowerment hasn't helped those people. And the best way, the most sustainable way to empower people, and this is a formula that works across the world. It's not, you know, it's not some magic formula that only certain people know. It's economic growth. If you want people to be lifted out of poverty, you have to grow your economy. It's worked in Eastern Europe. It's worked in India. It's worked in China. It's worked in Vietnam. It's worked in Botswana, actually. It's worked in a couple of South American countries. Colombia is a good example. Some Caribbean countries. If you want to get people out of poverty, you grow your economy. That's it. And we are obviously not growing our economy with BE. I mean, our economy is actually getting smaller because economic growth is barely keeping up with population growth.
And yeah, no, that's exactly right. There's not a word in here about ending the scourge of poverty or unemployment in our country. It's simply focused on prestige projects. It's simply focused on symbols. We must, you know, show that we've overcome the past by symbolically handing over factories from a group of people who owned the factories to a group of people who probably could have owned the factories anyway, because they're already the ones who have made it. The people who benefit from BEE are those who already have a university degree or, you know, some sort of equivalent. It is people who are already, you know, kind of inserted into the economy. They're the kind of people who could get jobs. They're the kind of people who are maybe politically connected. They're often, I mean, you know, the president qualifies for BEE and he is literally a billionaire. He is one of the richest and most powerful and the most powerful person in the country. Him and his kids benefit from the system, which does nothing for the poor and the disadvantaged in our society. I don't know, Marius, if you have those. I encourage our listeners to go and look up data on GDP per capita adjusted for inflation as per on places like Our World in Data, where you will see the degree to which South Africa has actually fallen behind other countries in the world. So I've just pulled up a picture of it here for those of you who are watching on YouTube. But look at where South Africa and Poland were in the year 1990. We're not talking about in the year 1960. We're not talking about in the year 1900. We're talking about within basically the lifetime of the ANC government. And South Africa is close to a flat line. Yes, things have improved slightly since 1994, but not that much, whereas a country like Poland has taken off. And there are many other countries around the world where you can see exactly the same thing happening. This is the reality, is that our policies, our economic conditions here have created a South Africa which is where the amount of wasted potential of human lives that could have been freed to live their best, to fully embrace the world, for people to be able to live out the lives they really want to live, has been curtailed. They've been cut. And that is the great tragedy of these policies. That is why they need to change. And the president, quite frankly, needs to drop this racialized thinking, thinking that the government and its largesse is the only actor in the economy, which is, of course, the other assumption underlying these comments. Sorry, I'm rambling a bit, but Marius, any final thoughts?
No, I think that's exactly it. And the scary thing is, if you take almost any country in the world, and if you base your GDP, say you make it a base of 100, and you compare South Africa to almost any country in the world, but there's a couple of African countries, you know, maybe a handful of Asian countries that have been left behind. They've made their base of 100. They've doubled it or made it into 150. South Africa, we'd probably be at 110, 120 maybe. It's absolutely obscene, actually. And it's the destruction of so much human capital. And unfortunately, the government won't or can't see the mistakes that they're continuing to make.
Exactly right. Anyway, with that in mind, let us call it for close for today. We hope very much that you found the show interesting, and we will be back tomorrow with the Daily Friend Show. Cheers, everyone.
The Daily Friend Show and the Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.